Welcome, track fans, to another, you know, end of day roundup of the Backstreet Boys here in Budapest. I've no idea.
This is day eight.
So this was day eight. So last night was day eight.
Yeah, we're catching up on day eight.
Oh, we're catching up on day eight.
Yeah.
Fine, but today is day nine.
Yeah. Yes.
Fine.
The illusion of podcasting.
You'd think we had a professional in the house.
He'll arrive.
Every day we say we're going to bring you a special guest, and today we have got a very special guest. He's an honorary Backstreet Boy because you've been on the podcast lots of times. Rads is with us. Radzi, we love having you as a guest because you know loads and loads and loads about athletics.
He's
love
more
it.
Of a nerd than we are.
I don't know if I can go that far, but I love it. And it's being here. What's been amazing is this champs has delivered. You know, you every single world champ's thinking, yes, here we go. And sometimes it's,
yeah.
And I still want to be excited. This every single day, off the charts.
Absolutely.
Can we just, before we get into last night's action, yep. I just want to point out that you predicted a world record for Noah Lyles in the 200 metres. What happened there, Radzi?
Was that the world record I predicted for Mondo Duplantis? That
the pole
was very, very, very close. Wasn't quite okay. I may have said with absolute certainty that Noah Lyles was going to go 19:15.
Yeah.
I was right, as Daryl pointed out. He just inverted the numbers.
Oh.
So he went 51. I went 15.
That's what it is. So your mind's eye was there. You just got it slightly on the wonk. Yeah.
It was. You know what? Here's the nuts thing. If he were to run tonight, I'd still back him to do the world record. I'm convinced he's going to do it. Oh, dear. Although it was incredible. It was an incredible performance. He's been, you can never replace Usain Bolt, but he is stepping into the shoes of just being the showman.
And what I love about the sport at the moment is we don't need to replace Usain Bolt with one person.
Exactly. Yes,
we've
exactly.
got multiple superstars. Mm-hmm. Hulamar Rojas, superstar. You know, Tamberi, superstar. Shaqiri, superstar.
Oh,
I'm so scared when I say that in case I get it wrong. Shaqiri, superstar. There's loads of them and it's really brilliant. So what happened last night? Because I don't even know what day it is.
So there was loads of gold medals last night. I think it was seven. But we are going to start with the shot put. Okay, the women's shot put was the first event on, although obviously it doesn't end first. Chase Ealy won, which was a bit of a surprise because she was the world champion last
exactly.
year. She's had an okay year this year, but Maggie Yuen was actually the world number one. Gong Li from China, I was convinced, was going to come out of nowhere and get the gold medal again, like she has so many times in the past. But no, I think it was first throw, wasn't it? First throw, Chase Ealy threw 43, was it?
2043.
And sort of killed the competition stone dead.
But we just need to talk about Gong for a second, because she has won a medal at every single championship since 2008.
Is that right?
I think she came fourth in 2016, actually. But anyway, some people know better than me. I read it on Twitter this morning. So maybe she missed out in Rio. But every world championship. Maybe it's every world championship since 2007. Something stupid like that anyway. It's like a ridiculous, ridiculous stat.
Do you know what?
Stat.
That's kind of changed how I've seen her now. Because to me, I think of, say, Valerie as the dominant chopper. And just, to me, doesn't get nearly enough credit. Doesn't
Absolutely.
Get spoken about enough. But if that's true, big caveat on the if, then she's got to be up there as well.
Yeah, I mean, because the thing is, because of Valerie, she didn't win a lot of these championships.
Yes.
So it's only in the last few years that she's actually got the gold medals. But, you know, the consistency to come out for that long. And we have to actually look that up and see how many medals. What is the record for medals, like
consecutive
medals?
Shout.
Yeah.
What a great shout.
No, we'll carry on because I'll get the name wrong, but I know the answer to that. So Chase Ealy won. She knocked the competition stone dead in the first round, really. Sarah Mitten, is it, from Canada, was second. And Gong did get that bronze medal for third. Really nice to see that consistency. I like it when someone wins a medal and then continues on, because you want an event to have a star or a couple of stars, don't you, rather than scattered people winning each time.
But then interestingly, say, compare it to men's shot put, where you've sort of got three main protagonists, Walsh, Kovac, Krauser, who you're thinking which of the three will step up, but you know any of those three, obviously Krauser, on their day can win it. It's then a question of how far will Krauser throw, how close to his own world record will it go. With the women's event, it feels a lot more open.
Yes.
And even looking at quali, I did not think Chase was going to do particularly well based on that.
Yeah, I agree.
But then for some people, they go through the motions and intentionally don't want to tap into that nervous system. And so I watched that with fascination. And Chase, I've never actually spent much time with her, but she just seems lovely.
She does, absolutely. It made me laugh because she started off the evening with like elaborate eye makeup, but it's so hot here that by the end it just kind of completely completely. You saw she was just wiping it off as she went. The men's decathlon was on yesterday, which turned out to be a fantastic competition. Is it Leon Neugerberger, I think, is his name? Is that right? Who won the NCAAs. He's straight out of the juniors, isn't he? He's won the biggest score of the year so far.
Broke the German record.
But the German record, which, you know, the German record, that's a great, great accomplishment. We spoke to Dan O'Brien, the great Dan O'Brien, earlier in the week, and he told us that was his tip. He had the best, I think it was the second best first day ever in the first day of the decathlon yesterday. 8 meter long jump, 17 meter shot put.
And the reason that's significant is you think, okay, so if you are a shot putter, you're gonna be a monster. Yeah. You should not on your birthday be jumping close to 8 meters, and he's bettered that. And to see the size of the guy, when you stood next to him, you think, wow. And to add to it, my colleague, I don't think she'll appreciate me saying this, but Aliza, she speaks 5 languages. Oh, wow. She interviews all the international athletes. I said to her after she'd spoken to Leo, I mean, be honest, your legs were going a little bit in that, weren't they? She went, yes, they were, Adzi. Yes, they were. Yeah, he's a good-looking man.
She's not the only one. After the first day, it felt like, you know, he had everything under control. Now, we don't know enough about him, really, at this point. He's so young. Mm-hmm. But the wheels kind of came off on the second day. I think he ended up fourth or fifth.
Yeah, fifth.
Because Pedro Page from Canada came storming through. He ran, like, was it 8,900 nearly? We had Damien Warner, who came through for a second. Canada having a stealth brilliant meet, which we'll come to in a second. And then Lyndon Victor from, where was he from? Grenada. Got third. So it's actually, we call it the newcomers coming through, but they're all kind of old hands, aren't they?
But then what I love and find interesting about, say, Canada, is you have a different size of physiology. So Warner, mm-hmm. and obviously the Canadian that won, very, very diminutive by comparison, which again is why decathlon can be so captivating, that you see a load of men, all the different strengths, all the different weaknesses, different sizes, and you think, who are they?
It's that balance, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's like, do you become faster but you lose in the throws? Do you become have a bit more endurance but you lose in the sprints? It's trying to find that balance that is so tough, and especially like it's tough in the heptathlon, but the decathlon's it's much more strength orientated, but you can't lose, you know, it's a very difficult balance to have, and that is the challenge.
Well, on the second day, Lepage won the first two events, so you think, like, going in, I think he was the third going into the second day, he won the first three events of the second day, so it kind of changed everything, turned everything on its head. It was a really, really great competition in the end. Did you watch it?
I watched most of it. I mean, all I would say is also, for me, if you're ever lucky enough to go to actual Olympia, where the original Olympics was,
right.
What they talk about is was all about designing the perfect soldier. Mm. So soldiers will compete and say, I am the ultimate warrior. That, to me, decathlon is a throwback to that.
Yeah.
So the Greeks say you can't be overly muscle bound because you will not have the endurance. You must have you must have all of those things. And that's what those men have. They are the perfect all-round athletes, and you get tested 3 opportunities in some cases, unless it's something like high jump. But then with high jump, if you're a big guy, how many genuine attempts have you actually got in your body? And then it's, well, hang on, even though I think I can clear it, how much is that going to take out of me for tomorrow? For now, the whole thing, I mean, Gotsits, I wish that was covered more, because it is fascinating.
Have you ever been to Gotsits?
Never. Have you guys gone?
Yes. Yeah. It's really, really good. It's
especially
really good.
The cakes.
Yeah, the cakes are amazing. Okay. The cakes are great. But it's what's great is it's a really knowledgeable crowd of people who understand the point system. They understand who's doing well and who's doing badly, and they cheer for everything. And because it's so, you know, it's such an event in Gotsits. It's a tiny little town on a beautiful lake.
Is it?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's quite difficult to get to as well. But you get there, and it's literally not just like athletics fans from around the world, but it's like a thing. An event from that area, they're very proud of it, and they all go and support it. It's really, really good.
I always think about the decathlon. It's really rude having pole vault. It's pole vault 8th?
Yes.
I mean, come on. Like, you know, 8 events in, you've been asked to do a pole vault. It's just rude.
But also, we could all have a go at shot put. We could all have a go at 1500. Pole vault? I mean, you're not having a go at that.
Yeah.
And then, what to your point about what do you specialize in, that's one of the events where if you are a sort of a pole vault specialist, it feels as though that's a great thing to have in your arsenal. Yes. Versus say being fast.
But also I feel like the physical, well, maybe not with Mondo, but with most pole vaulters, that kind of physicality is something that I think lends itself to lots of other events.
Yeah, very true.
Mm-hmm. So, talking about Canada having a great evening, mm-hmm. the men's 800 was won by my choice, actually. In fact, I actually predicted the top three. We stood just before the race, and having said that, of course, third was Ben Patterson, got a bronze medal for Britain.
Yes.
Just before it started, I turned to Jodie and I said, Ben's going to get a bronze, didn't I? I just had a feeling. It was a very strange race. Arop usually front runs, mm-hmm. he went straight to the back. Ben Patterson usually comes through like a train at the end. He ended up at the front at 200 metres.
So. But he did it on purpose. It was brilliant tactics. Yeah. He went to the front, he slowed it down. So they went through the first 400 in 52, mm-hmm. which, you know, it's a decent time, but it's not super fast. And it allows Ben to use his strength, which is his kick. And then Arop, you know, was last at 400 and then came through like a train. It was really clever.
It was really interesting seeing him. It was like boys versus men, the way he ran. His height, first of all, his size, but specifically his strength.
Yeah.
And you sometimes see, for me, the way you can sort of look at maybe the last 200 metres of middle distance, long distance, is how they move with their arms. And you can almost see, we saw Jakob Ingebrigtsen against Kerr, and you saw you had nothing left with 100 to go, versus Arop. It was majestic, but it was powerful, it was mature. And his story coming from Sudan is some Sudanese guys you sometimes see encroaching in the NBA, seldom do you see it in athletics. And I'm properly delighted for the idea of a tiny baby being in a war-stricken country to go, just so you know, we're going to raise you and love you so much and kind of instill everything in you that you'll become a world champion in track and field. And yes, what a win for humanity.
Oh. I have to say, I was particularly excited for Canada because our good friend Maureen is over. She's in Vancouver now. She hasn't been over to Europe for an athletics meeting for a long, long time, but we're kind of here in proxy. And so
we're
feeding all the information through to her. Shout out
to Maureen,
yeah. Fingers crossed she can make it for the Olympics next year, so
awesome.
that's what we're hoping for. But she's super excited, 4 gold medals for Canada.
But I just quickly say, because we've only ever seen him front run, and he front runs really strongly, and you know, sometimes holds on, sometimes dives a little bit down the home straight and gets overtaken. This new, like, I love it when people mix it up,
yeah,
and that's a new tactic for him. It shows he can run different ways, and it's very strong way of running for him. So, you know, to have both of those skills and be able to do everything going forward, he's a big find. And he, you know, 800s have been a little bit kind of open, yeah, especially this year. Yeah. So, you know, maybe he's the new superstar in the 800.
And just to say, another medal for Britain, that's medal 6. We'll be coming to another one any moment now. Talking of tactics, like, almost everyone got their tactics wrong in the women's 5K, apart from the winner, really. What were they doing, Jenny? You were shouting the whole way around.
It just makes no sense to me that you've got an event, like, Sifan Hassan has run
God knows how many
miles this championships. You've Faith's already won event. Segai's already won the 10,000, and nobody in that race thinks, let's make it fast. Let's make it fast. Let's make them fight for it because they've got tired legs. Everyone just jogged around. It was won in 14:50 something.
Yeah.
It's just like, what's the point? You might as well just given the medals out, because we know that Faith and Sifan are going to outkick you.
Yeah.
So this, by the way, there's a train going past, hence the noise. But for me, it's a frustration I've specifically had, funny enough, Kenya won, but with Kenyan athletes.
Yes, yes, I agree.
Where if you're running against Mo Farah,
yeah,
you know what the strategy is. It never changed. So therefore, and I got into a big argument, it was a one-sided argument, I hasten to add, of me just basically berating a Kenyan coach saying, why are you not surging? Why are you not running his legs off? You know what the gig is. If you have one lap to go and he's in the vicinity, he wins.
Also, you've got three people in that race. He's probably by himself, you know.
Precisely.
So they used to do that. They used to sacrifice someone back in the 90s. There used to be like a, what do you call it in cycling?
I'm not sure. And in triathlon.
You have someone who sacrificed themselves for the
Oh, I don't know.
You're the...
You're the...
I thought it was.
You're a mystique.
Yeah,
is it that? Something like that. Yeah. So there's members of the team who are literally there to
support
the one person who's likely going to win. And you would think that, like, when you've got three or sometimes even four people in a race, that the Kenyans would have done that. And it feels very odd that last night no one really took it on, and the result was inevitable.
I thought Hassan would have done that, because when we spoke to her after the 10, she was saying, as soon as it went off slow, I knew I wasn't going to win. And she was saying, I've done so much, I've got so much in my legs, obviously a lot of road running, and recently ran a marathon.
She's running another marathon in 6 weeks.
She's a monster.
Yes.
And she'd come in here, I knew the only way to win would be if it went off hard. And in the back of my mind, when I was hearing that, I thought, well, that's telling that you didn't then dictate the race yourself. Who knows why? She's obviously got her own reasons.
But we have to say, like, Faith Kipyegon, what a woman. I mean, never mind, like, female athlete of the year, she's undoubtedly the athlete of the year, isn't she? How many? She's at 3 world records, is it? And now she's won 2 gold medals at the World Championships. What else can you
ask?
Would
you put her as your athlete of the year?
Yeah. Who else?
Noah Lars has got to be in the mix.
Which world record did he break, Radzi?
It was 1915. I'm not sure.
And also, this is my personal opinion, you can't add relays into when considering individual achievements.
No.
So, just like he's won 2 individual medals, she's won 2 individual medals. Also, they split it up into men and women anyway. Just going back to the 5,000, I know I say this all the time. Where's Yobi Ezondiyiki when you need him?
Dominic Kariri?
No, Ishmael Kariri.
Ishmael Kariri.
Where's Daniel Komen? You know, they weren't scared to take a race out, take it by the scruff of the neck, and say, you know, if you want to beat me, you're just going to have to run faster than me. I miss that.
I wonder, and it's purely speculation here, if it's a sponsorship thing that it comes down to, if you podium, you will get insert whatever. And so therefore they're going, I can run for gold and risk things. Basically, Laura Muir in 2016, which for what it's worth, I think she made the right decision, even though she didn't medal. Because for me, having zero talent, I would always want to know what would have happened if I had gone for gold.
I agree with that, kind of. But then you look at Jenny Simpson, who always was smart enough to run for a medal, and that's why she's got a whole stack of medals at home.
So
including a World Championship gold medal.
I'd forgotten that.
Yeah.
I'd actually forgotten. Why has she forgotten so much?
because she wasn't dominant. She was just a very smart...
Very, very
smart championship performer.
That's true.
Talking of smart championship performers and talking about world records, Mondo was on last night. Now, something interesting happened. I don't know if you noticed this from home, but the pole vault was moved. So traditionally, the women's certainly was in the middle of the track. Last night, the men's pole vault was moved to the side of the track. So
it was where down the back straight,
where the long jump and
they
the triple
have
jump
a podcast
happened.
After that. They should think about doing that.
Wow, the back straight.
Think of something. Yeah.
So it was moved, and we were told we were out there journalising. We were told it was moved because Mondo likes to be next to the crowd.
That's the reason.
That's what we were told.
Okay, if that is the case, I would be apoplectic. If I'd gotten tickets, I mean, I did get a ticket for me and my friend. We watched the qualifiers for men's pole vault, and it was amazing. But I'd known, oh, hang on, you've got the 200 heats it was. I thought, perfect. So if we go slightly to the left-hand side of the bed, we'll then see the start of the 200, and we'll also get pole vault.
Well, to be fair, I was told that was planned in advance, so people weren't sold tickets as if the pole vault was going to be down the end. So the top holder tickets were sold as if they were going to be where the long jump is, but that was done in advance because they know that Mondo likes to be near a crowd. I can't say that's for certain, but that's what we were told. It kind of in the stadium, it probably was fantastic watching it on television. It was such a great competition. Was it five over 590, crazy. But it was a bit dead in the stadium just because it was tucked away over there and you couldn't really take as much notice of it as you would have otherwise.
All I will say is I spoke to people who did not know it had moved.
Right, okay.
And hence they were stood up watching it. But the thing is, and I think maybe the issue was, is that when you book your ticket, you look at the seat layout.
Yes, and you look at where events traditionally are.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas you wouldn't necessarily go... update on event moving. But you know what I mean, that's a minor criticism. Hungary have just been frankly incredible with what they've done, from the entrances to the band to the song choice when they introduce athletes. You're having people like Dr. Dre, you're having people we have a newcomer.
Hello.
Hey.
we've just got mobbed by fans.
But it was a minor discretionary point, it has been off the charts. But in terms of Mondo, my big question was, would that affect their actual run-up and therefore the marks they'd laid down in qualifying, knowing, okay, this is how far I'm going to have, because it was a fast run-up that we saw the likes of Ulemar struggle with.
Yes, absolutely. It was just a bit weird to have the qualifying in the middle of the of the thing, and then the final at the side. It was the ticket to have if you were sat on that side, you know. It was the ticket. You could hear people roaring, having the time of their lives, but it just didn't translate to the rest of the stadium.
And I think some people knew and some people didn't, because there were a block of about 300 Swedes.
There were, yes.
Who all got the memo. They got that memo.
But so Obiena got the silver. He went over 6 metres. And it was a double bronze, wasn't there, from Curtis Marshall and Chris Nielsen, who had both gone over 95.
Yep.
And then fifth place ended up being
Debo Colle, which is, you know, his dad was a 5.85.90 pole vaulter back in the 80s. So great standard of competition. Now, the highlight of last night, the highlight of every championships for me, is always the 4x1s. There's so much drama in a 4x1. There's so many, like, obviously there's the rivalries, but then there's all this sort of possibility of who's going to drop the bat and who's going to have a bad exchange, what order people are going to go in. And that we could talk all week about that. Turns out America won both. They ran great. I don't always want America to win, just because, you know, America win enough, and also I don't feel they're committed to the relay. It always feels like they've just hodgepodged a team together, which they have, but they've got the foot speed. Yeah. So as long as they can get the baton round, which they did both times, great. I mean, it was great runs from all, by all accounts.
The flip side of that, though, is the hodgepodge nature, the lack of commitment adds to the jeopardy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, absolutely.
And even seeing Noah Lyles, what I found really, really interesting was the dexterity of his wrist was very telling, because, I mean, there's that big question about the exchange, the final receipt of the baton from him. Where his hand is, it's in such an awkward position by the end that I was mesmerised. A, he didn't get cramp, but B, he committed to that. And it's when you see someone like that, who it's, this is where I am, I'm not going to move. I thought, fair play. And when I saw it in slow motion, I've seen it about 5 times, and I still cannot believe he actually got the baton and didn't drop it. And that would have been such a damp squib for him.
Yeah, to end would have, yeah.
The king, not the 3-time, the 2-time and the drop.
Yeah. Well, we were sitting with American fans when we got the teams through, and they were like, oh my God, when they saw the women's team, because it went, second leg was Tunisia, the third leg was Gabby, and the fourth leg was
Shaqiri.
And that's all not only mixed around from the previous heat, but Tunisia to Gabby to Shaqiri, they famously don't necessarily get on. And so there was a bit like a big whole kind of, oh my God, what have you done? Like, that's the worst possible combination. But it all went smoothly. It all went to plan. Interestingly, in the Jamaican team, Elaine was taken out. Don't know why.
Brianna
as well. We were told, I overheard some Jamaican, I think it was in the mix zone, saying that because of historical problems, they always had to put the top 4 Jamaican sprinters in the relay, so there's no arguments about like favouritism and things, which we know they have had.
That's
going. Yeah, so maybe that was something to do with it.
Did Chilean get injured? Because she ran great for like the first 80 metres and then really slowed down in the last 20, and then I read somewhere that she got injured.
If that's the case, I sincerely hope it's not a big tear.
Yeah,
she doesn't deserve to get injured. Who does? But I want it to be fully healthy for Paris.
Oh, 100%.
Because you think, is she probably maybe going to
hang it up in
Paris?
Oh, you think so, yeah.
But that lady, I mean, there aren't many people that I cannot say enough about.
Agreed.
Where it's, sometimes I wish people would hang it up and go, no, you were the best. Please, I don't want to see memories of you struggling to make 100%. A final. And it's, if Shelly-Ann struggles to make the final in Paris, Shelly, you do whatever
you want. 100%.
And she is just loved. And you and Thomas, who I've been working with on Discovery, said to her, Shelly, I don't know if you know just what a big deal you are. I think you get the biggest cheer of any athlete,
yes,
consistently. So there might be sort of particular areas that like throws or like jumps, whatever, but consistently, he said, I've worked with you around the world and it's Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce. She's just such an ambassador.
I just want to say this, and I'm not sure, I don't think we said this on the podcast yesterday. I think it was a discussion we had when we'd stopped recording. But what I've loved about this championships is the way that the Jamaican women have embraced Shaqiri Richardson. Because coming in, there was, you know, there'd been a bit of beef between them, mostly online, mostly not even them, mostly fans. Mm-hmm. But they didn't need to be magnanimous to her.
Great
and they've
point.
Absolutely embraced her. And you can see her bringing her guard down.
Relaxing,
yes. Because she knows she feels safe around people. And she brings her guard down. And we get to see the real her. We get to see her laughing and smiling and yes. playing, which is not a side of her that we've seen before. I think she's done herself a world of good at these championships. And I think just in that first race, when they embraced her and supported totally. Her.
It's a lovely selfie, isn't it? All
yeah.
And just to add to that, just that there's a caveat there. So a couple of my colleagues kind of alluded to the fact of, Shaqiri, she doesn't speak to the media. And all I said to them was, would you want to speak to the media given the revelation that happened a year ago? And she has been through the mill.
Yeah.
And that lady, the big question, I was delighted for her to win gold in 100 for a number of reasons. One was I thought, you have not had it easy. A number of others haven't, but nor is she. Number two, there was a massive question mark around her. And I believe you've almost got a window by which you can win. And if she turned up in, let's say, Eugene and didn't perform, then she turns up here, doesn't perform, then Paris, doesn't perform, you wonder then actually maybe the career is now finished because it's just all the mental scars. That is not the case. Number three, I met somebody who's actually American here. She's never been to a track and field meet before in her life. She knew one name, Shaqiri Richardson. And it was because of what happened a year ago.
Yeah.
So you think she's now a mainstream sports person. So to have her deliver the goods with all the followers on social media, that will potentially bring new eyeballs. And then to your point, to see the person that I like on social media now win on social media, to be embraced by the other athletes, you think, oh, I like this. So it's just win, win, win.
Yeah, I hope so.
And then she competes as well because she has the 200 as well. You think, yes, Shaqiri.
So we have to pick up the British ladies who... They said to you in the mixed zone, they said, we're not coming home with a medal.
And
without
a medal.
Without a medal, sorry. And they didn't disappoint. Now, Dina wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of had an inkling that it wasn't going to happen. She's got a bit of an injury. I don't think it's any big deal. But she didn't want to compete and then
let the
other team down. Especially as Asha was running so well. Asha looked fantastic. We haven't seen her run barely at all this year. And they did what they needed to do. It helped that Ivory Coast... dropped the baton, which was unfortunate.
Gutted.
But so great. When you think, Asha's been injured, you think that Bianca has had, so many problems since having a fantastic year. Imani got disqualified in the 100. Dina made the 200 final, came fifth, and now gets a medal. That's just a really a really great heartwarming story all round.
Annie Tago gets a medal.
gets a medal, yeah, absolutely. And adds to our medal tally, which is now at 7.
I'm just going to check out there. If what you're saying about Dina is true, that's very, very self-sacrificing for her to prioritise team and GB over herself.
Yeah.
So kudos to her for that.
Absolutely. Just a quick mention of the boys who came fourth. Now, I think they did phenomenally because there's been a lot of disruption
absolutely.
In that team. You know, Reece saying I'm not running, Darren getting sacked, whatever happened with him the day before, the week before. Zarnell wasn't able to run in the heat because he had the 200. Eugene's never run on a relay before. There's a lot of stuff going on there, but to bring it together and to come fourth, against some really, really top class competition is very impressive.
Eugene, for me, is one of those guys I've decided who... He may not necessarily be the most talented sprinter in the world. He's not going to give you a 9.7. But what he will do is he will bring the best package he has to every event he turns up to.
Yeah.
And it will never be through any stone being unturned. Mm-hmm. And I think he's now become, I'm not going to put him in past tense, but you're Richard Kilty.
Right.
If I had to bet money... Right. Richard Kilty, he could have a ruptured hamstring and Achilles and that baton ain't getting dropped.
Yeah.
He will get it to the person in front of him and it will say hand and he will release and then he'll have pain coursing through his body. I feel like Eugene's a similar guy.
Talking of drop batons, did you see that? Did you see that smooth link there? Talking of drop batons, we had the semis of the 4x4 on yesterday.
Yes.
Which was dramatic as you would want. The Americans did drop the baton. They did it right in front of us. It was an absolute fumble. I've got no idea what happened. It was just a total mess, wasn't it? Which meant that I've got to get this right because Holland and Poland were in the...
No, Holland got in.
Holland got in.
Third.
Yeah.
Poland were had to wait.
Had to wait. But
so
it
they
turns
got
out,
through.
Yeah, it turns out all of our teams other than America got in. It really does open it up wide for Britain to get a medal tonight.
Ran very well.
We
and we've got some changes
fantastic.
To make,
some
I would guess.
Changes to come in. Same with the men's. The men's were kind of...
India,
that was the big shot, wasn't it?
You know what was really cool was I was in the mix zone watching them about to do their first interview. They didn't look surprised. And I thought that for me is one of my big tells of an athlete's ambition. Is this a shock? Is this expected? Words, move it to one side. But I looked at them and thought, you're not even on air yet, and you're all together, and you're chatting as though, yeah, this is exactly as we... Fair play.
I, you know, India is a sleeping giant.
Yeah.
They've got three men in the javelin final. Mm-hmm. So we know where this is coming from. I love new countries coming up, especially in events we don't expect to see them in. America didn't look dominant, but they've got Vernon Norwood, Rye Benjamin, I would guess. Who came third in the 400?
Yeah, the guy who came third in the 400.
So. Otis something, someone Davis?
Anyway, you know that's hilarious.
Yeah. Otis Davis got a bronze in 2004.
Yeah, I think he did, yeah.
Here.
So we'd still expect America to win, probably. But, you know, Britain are right up there. We've got Matt to bring in. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a few...
There's medals to be had, and we've also got the 800-metre finals tonight. And we've got to rush off. We were going to be 15 minutes, and we've been, like, over half an hour already. I just want to say, you know, earlier we talked about who had the most successive medals.
Yep.
I think the answer is Ezekiel Kemboi, who got a medal...
Go on, Ezekiel. The three back-to-back, I remember.
But he got a medal in every championship from 2003 to 2015.
Oh, seven in a row. Kemboi. And at once he had a murder charge hanging over his head whilst he was competing and won gold. I remember Brendan Foster said, here comes a big lad, he's got a murder charge hanging over his head, and he still won and then danced afterwards.
Was Brendan Foster Jamaican?
He was Welsh.
But that means that Gong, if our calculations are right, Gong's just won 8 or 9 in a row.
We need to look this up. Cool, listen, thank you ever so much for joining us.
My pleasure, and keep listening to our thing. By the way, lads, one quick shout out. Do you get your tickets? Is there anything through the track and field organisers when it comes to getting your tickets to all the events around the world?
We get
to not see my accreditation.
Fine. The reason I say that is because I've met so many British Athletics Supporters Club people, and it's all by one company. And when it comes to Paris, they can't get the allocation. So I just want to basically give them a shout out, because when I see the British fans, the proper diehard fans that obviously listen to this podcast, please keep coming to events because we love you.
Exactly. But listen, thanks for joining us. We will be back tomorrow with another special guest already planned, but in the meantime, just enjoy this evening's athletics, because it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be a world record again, guys.
Bye bye.
Later. Bye bye.